Bird Dog's khaki shorts are just like your mother. They'll wrap you up and keep you comfortable no matter where you are. Their zipper pockets will securely hold all your things. They'll fondle you with a love you thought only your mother was capable of. Oh, and don't worry. These shorts won't call you a disappointment. You might even start to love Bird Dogs just as much. If you want to experience motherly love again, hurry to birddogs.com/MLB and buy a pair. They're selling out quickly, but they'll throw in a free Bird Dogs tumbler if you get there on time. That's birddogs.com/MLB.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Helping you get to the back end of the work week. Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
Hope that this cute little ditty helps you feel better about hump day. You're heading into it. We're actually in the midst of ours. Wednesday becomes so much easier when you start with our show and all of our goofiness. We're going to get you over the hump.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Well, you all blew up our Twitter and Facebook pages with your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And Manny tells me he had half a page of questions he did not get to. I'll give you one more. Pick one more from your list of questions that you desperately need answered, Manuel. Is your name Manuel?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay.
Ah, damn. There's so many good ones.
You know we're not supposed to swear on this show, right? It's a family program. There are children listening. Actually, probably not in the middle of July because they're sleeping. Yeah, my fourth and fifth graders, this is actually funny. I'll give you a second to find a question. One, just one. My fourth and fifth graders that I teach on Sunday mornings in church, I think I said crap. Right. So I said crap. I don't remember what I was talking about, but I said that in Sunday school, in their Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and instantly was like, oh no, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And so
wait,
a couple
Sunday school?
A couple of their faces got real big. I said, please don't tell your parents. And I said, let's replace that. Let's rewind and replace that with the poop emoji. Oh, and they all giggled. Gales of laughter.
You won them back.
I did. Well, they were fine with it. I'm sure they've heard worse, but I shouldn't be saying that for fourth and fifth graders, 10 and 11 year olds.
Amy, would you rather learn to sing opera or learn to play jazz?
Ooh, it depends on what instrument. I do love piano. So if I already play the piano, I have a piano. It's what I do when I need peace, when I need some joy, just at times when I need some music. So I would say probably I can already read music and I can play a bunch on the piano. So I'll go with the jazz part because I think it'd be an easier transition. This voice is not going to sing opera. I have a deeper voice than a lot of the men in our business. So this voice is not going to sing opera. I love my voice. I'm good with my voice. I don't want to be a soprano or an opera singer.
I went to a jazz club once. I was surprisingly very entertained.
Oh, jazz is amazing.
I didn't think I would like it. And my girlfriend took me out. And yeah, you have some whiskey and listen to some jazz.
Oh,
wasn't bad.
All right. Powerful. Powerful, to be sure. I just was seeing some of the other questions that are posted on Twitter and Facebook. And David asked on Facebook, what's your spirit animal? Mm-hmm. Funny enough, we answered that on our latest video version of Ask Amy Anything. So all you got to do is go check out our red, white, and blue summertime edition of Ask Amy Anything on our YouTube channel. It's named after the show. Super easy. Lots of these questions, lots of your questions were answered during our video version. And I know it's one of the most popular offerings that we put up on YouTube. So you can check that out on your own time. It is our Hump Show After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Again, I'll go back and I'll do some more responding over the course of the day on Wednesday. You know what blows me away? The number of people that keep asking for a picture of my cat. dog pictures, very popular, of course. And one of these days, I'm going to have to post a video. My dog Penny is 13 and a half. Her favorite 30 seconds of every single day when it's not raining. We come back from the afternoon walk. It's hot. It's humid right now. Neither one of us love the heat and the humidity. She stops, drops, and rolls in the front yard. Now, she would drop in other neighbors' yards if I let her, but I make her wait until we get back to our yard. Stops, drops, rolls. And you would think the dog was four, not almost 14. She's happy as a clam. Absolutely loves rolling around in the grass. And so she kicks her legs up in the air, all fours. She's got her tongue hanging out. She rolls back and forth, scratches her back. Yeah, I'm going to have to get a video of that. But for some reason, my dog pictures aren't enough. People are continuing to request a photo of my cat. She's not that exciting.
Personally, I'm not a cat guy. I'm a dog guy. So I ask you, where can I find a picture of your dog?
Oh, all over. Check out my Twitter. Absolutely. Easy peasy to find. I do have a pretty cute photo of my cat from not long ago where she was calm. She was not howling at me. She wasn't talking. She was just sleeping, and it was so nice. When the cat is sleeping, everything else in my life is calm. I have a very high-strung cat, as in cat never stops talking. She's jealous when I pet the dog. She's all up in my grill all the time. But for a few moments, I happened to catch her on, well, it was funny because she was on my bedroom floor, but she was hiding back in the curtains. And I managed to get a photo without waking her up. Doesn't happen very often, but I did. So fine. Before the show is over, I will share a photo of Sugar because you all continue to ask for it. I think it's because many of you remember during the pandemic when Sugar made her debut on national radio. The whole idea of taking your pets to work, I never, never again. It was fine for 3.5 months. And after that, I never wanted to take my pets to work. The cat got up on the arm of the chair. And because she was close to the microphone and because it's a trick that we do, I say her name, she meows. 30 seconds this went on. Sugar, meow, sugar, meow, sugar, meow. Oh yeah, this is my life. But she did it for 30 seconds on the radio, like we were some kind of a circus act. And so now people, they just want to know about Sugar. That's it. They want to know.
Well, you give me the latest on Penny and you can give everybody else the latest on Sugar.
Oh, okay. Don't be discriminating.
I'm not a discriminatory guy.
Why don't you like cats?
I don't know.
You don't know why you don't like cats?
No.
I asked Bob because Bob says the same thing. I'm not a fan of cats.
He's a dog guy.
And I said, why? He does have a dog, yes. I said, why are you not a fan of cats? And he said, because they're aloof. Oh, well, wait until you meet Sugar. You're going to wish my cat was aloof. She's all up in your grill all the time. So now that he's met Sugar, and Sugar, of course, adored him, was sitting on his head while he was watching a movie or trying anyway, I said, you wish the cat was aloof, right? So now he can't say that about cats.
I just feel like cats are just kind of like there. They're just an unwanted roommate. A dog will show you love.
Not unwanted. If you adopted them, they're not unwanted.
Well, their mood certainly does feel like I don't want to be here.
Oh, well, see, that's not the case with Sugar. I'm telling you, Sugar is needy as heck. Mm. Three of us, we have I wouldn't say a big house, but 1,300 square feet. Oh, no. The second I sit down, the cat is within a 6 inches of me, and the dog is just as close. We travel in a pack in my house. So I told Bob, we're a package deal. There's nothing you can do about it. They're stuck to me like glue.
Sugar's here to stay.
Sugar, yes. I'm telling you, the only time she's not up in my grill is when she's sleeping. That's it. And she's 15 now. The cat's never going to die. She's going to live forever. Because she drives me crazy, she's going to live forever. My mom tells me all the time that she's been praying for years that I would have a sassy daughter just like me. And so until I do, Sugar is the answer to her prayers. Funny, Mom. That's funny. My nieces love her. They call her best friend. My college roommate adores her too. Everyone loves her but me. I'm like, can someone else just take her? No, I'm teasing. I do love her, but she's high maintenance. She's high maintenance. So fine, I'll post a photo of Sugar and then you'll all tell me how cute she is. And you will tisk tisk at me for speaking bad things about her. She drives me insane. I'll just tell you that. She wakes me up at 4:30 on Saturday and Sunday mornings because it must be just 2 hours to breakfast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page that I mentioned, our YouTube channel as well. If you missed the story of the Australian sailor and his dog who floated adrift in the Pacific Ocean for 3 months before they were found, oh, we're going to have to trot that one back out again because that is exceptional. Also, did you know someone was keeping track of runs scored in baseball in 1894? These types of historical facts, they always give me pause. Who was counting in 1894? Were there a dozen baseball teams in 1894? Because I'm going to go with probably not. So does that mean it's never happened before? Or 1894 was the first time they were counting? But the stat you're going to see, whether it's online, whether you're listening here, you can go fact check me. I'm telling you, according to the smart people, the people who do the research, it's the first time since 1894 that 12 teams in Major League Baseball have scored at least 10 runs.
That's interesting because according to Baseball Reference in 1894, that's the year, right?
That's what it said.
There were 12 teams in the league.
So in 1894, every single one of the teams, in fact, scored 10 runs.
From the Baltimore Orioles to the Louisville Colonels.
Who was keeping track of that and passing that knowledge down? That's crazy. They barely had paper in 1894. Forget.
You think they had a little pen with a feather on it?
No, maybe. I mean, they did have some. It just wasn't readily available everywhere. Maybe they were keeping track in a, I don't know, some type of hieroglyphics. Or they were keeping track with a piece of wood. Carving out notches. I bet the scorebooks look nothing like what they do today.
No Bob Carpenter scorebooks back in 1894.
12 teams scored 10 runs. Let me just run through some of this because it's it's kind of funny that the boys of summer were burning up the base paths. The Cubs, 17 runs. The White Sox, the Tigers, the Reds, 10 runs each in losses. They scored 10 runs and lost. How about the Atlanta Braves? Oh, I know you want to hear it. The Atlanta Braves and the Arizona Diamondbacks, they actually probably cause consternation for one Rob Manfred, though he does like offense, but he doesn't like games that take a long time. Hey, Manny, what are you doing in there? I'd love if we could hear the Christian Walker home run. He's not paying attention to me.
2-1, Walker swings, there's a drive, deep center field, that baby is gone! Go-ahead shot for Walker, his second home run of the game. And the Diamondbacks leapfrog in front, it's 12-11.
That was in the sixth inning. Christian Walker with a pair of home runs and five RBI. Austin Riley, though, with seven runs batted in. Atlanta scores 13 runs on 11 hits and is sitting on a one-run lead in the ninth inning.
Here's the 1-0 pitch now from the right-hander Yates. And there's a swing. Soft liner down for a base hit. RBI knocked by Canzone, and we are tied at 13. 2-0 swing. There's a ball headed towards right center field. That is down, and it's going to the wall. Two runs are going to score as Perdomo gives the Diamondbacks the lead. It's now 15-13 in the top of the ninth inning. You get a fortuitous E3 from Olsen, and now you've got a two-run lead, and here's Marte. First one to him. Base hit center field. Rounding third and heading home is Perdomo. And with nobody out, the Diamondbacks have scored three runs with four batters and lead it 16-13 in the ninth.
We've had a whole bunch of days in the last 3 months that have been really, really, really good. We're going to go through spells. It's not easy doing this, navigating an entire. There's nothing wrong. You know, we'll be right back at them tomorrow.
That's Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves. Yeah, I'm not worried about the Braves. However, they did give up 16 runs at home to the Arizona Diamondbacks. At least they're not alone because, again, pitching was at a premium on Tuesday. Right now, the Braves still have a 9.5-game lead. This is despite the Phillies winning 7 of their last 10 and 4 in a row. Braves have dropped three straight, but a chokehold on the NL East. The Marlins backpedaling a bit. In fact, they've dropped five straight. So they kind of lost some of that shine that they had before the All-Star break. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So also, we're talking about the National League, the Giants and the Reds. Now, they had to finish up a game that was suspended from Monday for weather. Giants win that one in a respectable 4-2 manner. But it didn't stay that way. They also engaged in a major slugfest.
Now the pitch. Wilmer swing. Line drive in the right field. In and to his left, making a backhanded catch. The catch is made. Heading for the plate is Wisely. He scores. Now a throw goes to third base. And out at third is Matos. And I don't know what happened to Matos.
We're tied at eight. Bases loaded, two outs. Three balls, two strikes. There go the runners. The pitch is in the dirt, ball four. And Casey Schmidt draws the bases loaded walk.
Oy.
Yastrzemski scores, and the Giants take a 9-8 lead. 2-1 pitch. He swings, lines it out into left center field. He's got a hit. Steer over to cut it off. Sable has scored. Here comes Wisely rounding third. He'll score as the throw comes in towards second. And the Giants have made it hurt. A two-out, two-run single from Luis Matos. And now the lead 11-8 for the Giants.
That's a lot of runs. It's a lot of runs. Ultimately, the Giants' win streak is still alive. Now seven consecutive on Giants radio. The NL West is still very much up for grabs. The Dodgers do have a couple of wins, and they've won eight of their last 10. So they're out in front of the Giants by a game and a half. The Diamondbacks have faded, right? So they did beat the Braves last night, but ultimately they've really slipped back since the All-Star break as well. So it's a three-team race in the NL West. Reds are scuffling a bit. They've dropped six in a row. Remember, they were the hot-to-trot team with a lot of the youth and Ellie De La Cruz spearheading what was an incredible surge before the break, but now they've stabilized. And while they're still above 500, they've dropped six in a row. So we're starting to see the whole, well, the dog days of summer and the whole idea that anything can and will happen over the course of a baseball season. The Yankees, they can't seem to buy a win. So last night, the Yankees decided to pitch around Shohei Ohtani in one situation. They didn't in every case. He got called out on a third strike on a ball that was below his knees. And while he didn't say anything to the umpire, boy, the facial expressions, they translate from culture to culture. Anyway, so the Angels end up getting a home run from Moniak, from Mickey Moniak, who's just behind Shohei Ohtani. So they're making the Yankees pay for some of their decisions. The Yanks now have dropped 5 of 6. And forget whatever the Angels might do at the All-Star break. It's intriguing to think about what New York might do. And because our CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located in New York, the chatter now around the Big Apple is whether or not Aaron Boone should be replaced, whether or not Aaron Boone's time has run out with the Yankees. He would tell you the team's not giving up. There's no quit.
Look, there's moments in time where you get frustrated and upset, but that'll weigh you down. That'll wear you down. You start getting overly emotional, high, low, mad.
Sad.
Look, we're human. There's going to be things in the moment that frustrate you. Our job is to work and figure it out.
I would say that there's people who have been against Aaron Boone for the past couple years. The way they started last season on that meteoric pace, and then they leveled off. They did win the AL East, but even as Aaron Judge was setting a new home run record in the American League and the Yankees were getting all this attention, they couldn't capitalize, and the offense shriveled up, including Judge, for the most part, in the postseason. And I know teams don't operate in a vacuum. The Yankees have run into the Astros a couple of different times, similar to what the Yankees do to the Twins, right? How many Twins fans out there have nightmares about the Yankees in the playoffs? Well, that's what the Astros have done to the Yankees lately. And it's not just them, but again, you could use the example of the Golden State Warriors. Not this past year, of course, but for 8 years. 6 out of 8 years. A force to be reckoned with. And how many other potential champions or dynasties in the making we could have had in the West if not for the fact that the Warriors were blocking everyone. So you have to also, I mean, Chiefs, same thing right now in the AFC West. You also have to take into account who the competition is. And for the Yankees, their offense just repeatedly seems to disappear in the postseason, and they've run into the Astros a bunch. So there are some Aaron Boone detractors who would have had him fired before this season began. But they got the new Judge contract in place. Their superstar, their captain. What are you going to do when he's injured? I mean, it's tough because it's staring the Yankees in the face. The moves they've made, other than Aaron Judge, have not really panned out offensively. And so without Judge, and I haven't heard any recent update that would indicate he's on his way back anytime soon. There certainly was chatter that he might just magically play out of the All-Star break, but he didn't. And there's been no reports that he's running, that he's doing baseball activities. You can't just sit around and wait for him to return. I mean, the Angels would love to have Mike Trout back right now, but they got to do something. They can't just sit around and wait for him to get back. Of course, it helps if you have an Ohtani, a second superstar. So we'll see what the Yankees do with the trade deadline. There's a lot of teams right now involved in that American League wild card. If they could get Judge back, you would think they could make a run, but that's the case for the Angels too. It's hard to pull the trigger on trades when you're holding a hope that a superstar is going to return and it's going to all fall into place again.
Boone was on the Talking Yanks podcast on Tuesday, and he said, quote, "I don't have a date for you, but I feel like it's getting close," close quote.
Close, not closer. Close.
"I feel like it's getting close."
Close. All right. It is a tough division. That's the problem, too. If they were in any other division, this likely wouldn't even be a challenge. Well, it would be a challenge because you're missing your captain and your best player, but it wouldn't be as big a deal. There wouldn't be quite the same sense of urgency, but they floated now and drifted to the bottom of the AL East, even though they're above 500. So they are also in a really tough division, a stacked division. All right, coming up. Well, I did promise you the story of the Australian man and his dog who survived adrift at sea for 3 months. No joke. Let's see. What else? What else do I want to do? Oh, you know what? A little bit with the president of the NFL Players Association in the wake of what has been a real uproar over running backs not getting deals and running backs not finding homes. J.C. Treader, who's been on our show in the past, was a guest on the Ross Tucker podcast. You'll hear what he has to say. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning. It's our Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So, I got to go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's going to totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The second half of the baseball season is here, and each game means a little bit more. We're talking pennant races and wild card chases, with each pitch bringing us closer to the playoffs. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to live play-by-play of your local team, so no matter what you're up to, you'll never have to miss another game. Download the free Odyssey app today and keep baseball close by all summer long. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the snap, toss play to Pollard, running left, blockers in front, outside the numbers, 25, down to the 20, 15 to the 10, cuts right at the 5, dancing into the end zone, touchdown Cowboys. Tony Pollard may have just put this one away. A 30-yard touchdown run, and Dallas leads 40-19.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
Nothing that I have to say could be any better than this. This will wake you up on what is a Wednesday morning. I have a tougher time waking up on Mondays, but Wednesdays can be, oh. Talk to me. I can talk to you. That's what I do the best. When people talk, good things happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am really impressed with the volume of questions that you all sent for Ask Amy Anything, so I'll get to it. I'm also starting to get super nervous. I keep running into colleagues who have travel nightmare experiences, and I have to fly next week. Oh, no. Don't, you guys, somebody tell me a good travel experience you've had lately so that I can believe that it's all going to work out. Should I just start driving now to Houston? Just start driving. Just forget the plane thing altogether.
My commute to work the last 2 days has been pretty good, so there's a good travel story.
Actually, there you go. But that does not involve flying, which is the part that makes me nervous. I just ran into Boomer Esiason in the hallway, and he was off for the last couple days, and his travel experience included 3 cancellations. No.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I will cry. I don't know if he cried. I'm going to go with no. He probably didn't cry. But I would cry.
It'd be crazy if Boomer would cry over travel issues, considering that he played football in the most, you know, physical era.
Still, sometimes when you want to go somewhere and you can't get there, it's frustrating. You never know.
Indubitably.
There's that word again. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. Thanks for hanging out with us on The Hump Show. Yes, the story of the Australian man and his dog who were floating adrift in the Pacific Ocean for 3 months. You're not going to believe it. Yeah, that's coming up before the top of the hour. But we know there's been a lot of chatter about running backs and whether or not they are undervalued and how the NFL can put its money where its mouth is when it comes to one of the most important positions on the field. And yet it doesn't appear as though the teams have a whole lot of incentive to budge. I've heard lots of explanations. For instance, there's too many talented running backs, which is why you don't have to pay the one who will cost you an arm and a leg, because you can take someone else and plug him in and you don't have to worry about then spending all that money on a guy where, you know, he's really not worth a lot of wins above replacement, if that makes sense. I know I'm borrowing a baseball term, but you know the baseball term. The acronym WAR stands for wins above replacement. And it's essentially how many more wins a player is worth over the guy who would take his place in the lineup or on the field. I haven't checked this year's stats, though I certainly could quickly. But a lot of times, the best players are only sporting a win above replacement of, say, 5.5 wins, and that's considered a big deal in a season in which they play 162 games. Now, can those wins be the difference between a playoff spot? Not yes, but still, that's a a few, like a small number of wins when you're talking about a season as long as what baseball players have. The idea with the running backs is that you're not going to get very many running backs who are worth a win, two wins, three wins above their replacement. Tony Pollard, supposed to be taking over for Ezekiel Elliott. He has signed his franchise tender. He will make $10.1 million as the Cowboys feature back. And I dare say because of his history and the fact that he was working his arse off just to get to the point where he would be the number one option. Now that Zeke is gone in Dallas and you hear the touchdown with Ryan Radke on Westwood One, $10.1 million is a big payday for him. But Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, right now expected to hold out. J.C. Treader is a former Browns offensive lineman. He was a guest on the Ross Tucker podcast, right now also president of the, so he's retired from football, but president of the NFLPA, and he's frustrated too.
I've talked to a couple of them, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating for them. It's frustrating for us. I've also read the back and forth on Twitter of fans and media people giving their perspectives. I think one thing I like to try to do is put things in somewhat perspective to give people a peek behind the curtain of how things work, like collective bargaining. How does it actually work?
That, my friends, is a tease for the Ross Tucker football podcast. Yeah, how does it actually work? Because a lot of people are pointing to, hey, collectively bargain. This is what you all signed up for. I would caution, though, against taking that stance because the NFL owners who are represented by Roger Goodell, they have, yes, the upper hand when it comes to negotiations. Players, and if you remember, this recent CBA was a very tight vote. It was like 100 votes difference between the yays and the nays to ratify this current CBA. They have to be willing to prioritize and make concessions. It's negotiating, it's bargaining, and they do feel like they made some major progress in a few areas, but it was a hotly contested vote among players, feeling like, for instance, the rank and file, which makes up the majority of the NFL, the majority of the NFL does not make $50 million like quarterbacks do. The majority of the NFL make far less, and so there was a lot of talk about whether or not the new CBA did enough for the rank and file, for those guys who are playing for the veteran minimum. So the value of a running back then, how do you determine it? Again, J.C. Treader with Ross Tucker.
I understand the analytics pointing out the value of running backs. I played with Nick Chubb, the last handful of years of my career. I know how valuable a good running back is. There were plays that we completely misblocked and may not have touched a soul that Nick scored on. Nick busted a 65-yard touchdown and nobody blocked a soul. So I know how valuable a good running back is to a team.
I definitely want to hear the rest of JC with Ross. And Ross, both Ross and JC have been guests here on the show. Great insight. Now it is the job of the NFLPA to kind of raise the red flag here and say, look what's happening. And I also appreciate that there were so many running backs, even those who've been paid handsomely and who are under contract, who are willing to stand up on social media or in interviews and say, hey, this is not right. These guys are valuable. You can't win without a quality running back or a quality run game. So why aren't we paid or valued or respected the way that other positions are? For instance, wide receiver, because this time last year, the money was flying out the window for wide receivers. Maybe we'll have to get Ross back on the show again soon. All right, so find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can use our Facebook page. This portion of the show sponsored by the United States Postal Service, introducing USPS Ground Advantage, reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping, the United States Postal Service. I mean, it's going to be more than just a story about a man who was adrift on the Pacific Ocean with his dog for 3 months, but that is important. Patrick Mahomes, he might be on the Mount Rushmore right now with Wemby, Otani, Messi. And then Patty. All right.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder?
You're not allowed to go from an eligible to an ineligible player on back-to-back plays.
Blitz coming. Mahomes.
Man wide open. Touchdown, Chiefs. It's Sky Moore.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that Super Bowl feels like a long time ago, but it was, in fact, on Fox, a Super Bowl win for the Kansas City Chiefs. I know why Manny is playing this music, talking about Down Under, because we have a story about an Australian sailor coming up. But do you remember when we asked you, I think it was last week, what international sites would you like to see host United States sporting events? And many of you said Australia. I bet there are a bunch of athletes who would love to be in Australia for different events. It's just the travel. Holy cow. I don't know. I bet the Chiefs would be all the rage in Australia as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes reporting to Chiefs camp with the rookies? Ah, maybe he still feels like a rookie, or maybe he wants to get the questions about repeating out of the way early.
There hasn't been a team that go back-to-back since the Patriots in, I think, 03, 04. So everybody's motivated by that. I mean, you should be motivated every year in the league. It shouldn't matter what the last year was. I mean, you should be motivated to do it again. When you have that parade, when you go through the offseason that I've been through, you want to do it again. And you only get those opportunities by winning the Super Bowl. And so for us, we want to make sure that we can build up and try to win that Super Bowl again, because that moment, that feeling is something that you just want to grab every single time that you get the opportunity to do.
So Patrick Mahomes, along with the rookies, showing up for camp. And he's right. He's had quite the offseason, a whole lot of extra opportunities afforded to you and invites afforded to you when you are Patrick Mahomes and you're the reigning MVP as well as the Super Bowl MVP. And yet it's up to him as one of the leaders on the team, as one of the captains, to help the rookies get ready.
If you can get through Andy Reid's training camp, then you're going to be able to get through an NFL season. I think they have to have that mindset, and they got a taste of it during OTAs and vet mini camp, but they're going to really see what it's like in training camp, and they know that if they do it the right way, they have a good chance of anybody to win that Super Bowl.
Listen, with quarterbacks, the work's never done, and I've mentioned before, it's like being a farmer, and you just keep on cranking. So, and we're always trying to give him new challenges with things, and he loves that, and loves to attack those type of things.
Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, one of the old married couples in sports, 5 straight trips to the AFC Championship, and yet you've got a fully engaged and motivated quarterback who sets the example for the rest of the team. Well, what about Reid? What keeps him motivated and going, since he's obviously from a different era?
I love the game, and so, I mean, that's, and we've got a good football team. I love the organization. I mean, being up here, Missouri Western State University, and the way the people treat us up here is phenomenal. So, I mean, all of those things I look forward to and enjoy doing.
We had a few cheeseburgers together.
I'm so glad. I would eat a cheeseburger with Andy Reid, as long as we can have fries to go along with. Actually, I made cheeseburgers on Sunday and would have been happy to share one of my cheeseburgers. I'm trying to think. Let's see. One was just a plain old hamburger, but boy, was it delish. And then one was actually a cheeseburger because a friend left some aged cheddar in my fridge. Not my favorite cheese, not my first choice of cheese, but I had to eat it. I don't like to throw away perfectly good food. That's why I'm trying to get rid of the buttermilk that Bob left in my fridge. He was making a marinade when he cooked or grilled venison when he was visiting New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, and I don't like to throw food away if it's perfectly good and usable, and so I'm trying to come up with reasons and ways to finish the rest of the buttermilk. It's kind of funny, actually, if you go online and you Google uses for buttermilk, there are all kinds of articles about how people have to find ways to use up the buttermilk when it's purchased for a particular recipe and there's a lot left over. I'm not the only one, apparently, who's trying to scrounge together ways to use up the buttermilk. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs are the team to beat, no doubt. But does Patrick Mahomes belong, and maybe I'll use this question moving forward next week or even later this week, does Patrick Mahomes belong on the sports Mount Rushmore currently? Because we've got what we had, Wemby fever. Certainly the fact that he is 7'5" and all the rage in Vegas before he's even played a summer league game, now into San Antonio, the number one overall pick, expected to be the savior of the franchise. He's an international star. Ohtani, duh. Messi in Miami. In fact, David Beckham was talking about what a hectic, insane time these last few days have been as Messi landed in Miami and was introduced.
It's been incredible. You know, obviously the moment that Leo announced was a big moment for us as ownership, me, Jorge, Jose, and our families. You know, it was a very emotional moment. But then obviously when Leo landed here 100 yards away a week ago now, it's been a roller coaster. You know, we obviously wanted everything to be perfect for the moment that he arrived, the moment that he walks into our facility, the moment that his family arrive in Miami. And it's been great. You know, the presentation the other night was incredible. You know, to see 20,000 of our fans and the eyes of the world on our club, mm-hmm. on this league, on this, with this sport, it was an incredible moment. So it's been great. Obviously, we saw Leo today on the training field. He looks fit. Sergio looks fit. He only landed a couple of days ago. So he's going to need a little bit more time. But it's an exciting time for us.
David Beckham on ESPN Deportes, and he claims, now this seems like a lot because the population of the world is just under 8 billion. Is that what I said earlier? Population of the world is
7 billion.
7.96, something like that. Anyway, he claims that 3.5 billion with a B people viewed Messi's intro online globally. But that would be... Yeah, that'd be, what, 45% of the population, which seems drastic. There's a lot of people that don't have internet, so I don't know about that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We've covered a lot of ground. We've gone soccer/football to U.S. football to golf to baseball, even basketball. Daryl Morey explaining what he's looking for in a trade for James Harden, but none of that is compelling as the Australian sailor. Why do I keep doing that? It's because it's the sound Australian sailor who survived 3 months on the Pacific Ocean with his dog. They were adrift for 3 months waiting to be rescued. He's Australian. His name is Timothy. He's 54 years old. He now looks like Tim Hanks out of Castaway. They survived by eating raw fish and drinking rainwater until Timothy and his dog Bella, who is apparently in good shape, were rescued by a Mexican tuna boat.
You're welcome.
We're talking 1,200 miles offshore. 1,200 miles. They were drifting 1,200 miles from land. It's an enormous ocean. And he's on a little bitty catamaran with no shelter. So they had exposure. He clearly didn't have enough food for them to maintain weight because he's skinny mini. But he's got a big old giant beard. Bella looks good. Yeah, apparently a storm damaged his vessel and wiped out all of its electronics, cutting off communications. And so he and his dog, they were just drifting for 3 months. The crew of the tuna vessel found the pair in a precarious state, lacking food and shelter. But they're alive with normal vital signs. 3 months drifting on a little vessel on the Pacific. No, thank you, but that's amazing. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Experiences are what people love most about travel.
With Viator, you can browse and book tours and activities so incredible you'll want to tell your friends. They offer everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Viator has experiences in over 190 countries. There's something for everyone. Plus, Viator's travel experiences have millions of real traveler reviews, so you have the information you need to book the best activities for your trip. Viator lets you keep things flexible. Use Reserve Now and Pay Later to secure the activities you don't want to miss without being locked in. Whether you want to take a backstage tour of the Grand Ole Opry, a Miami Bimini Bahamas day trip by ferry, or a private guided tour of the Grand Canyon, Viator is for you. Download the Viator app now and use Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.